What is that? Frosthaven?
Is it backwards for you? Because it's backwards for me. Because if so, good reading.
Yeah, it's backwards for me too. No, I can read it. It's forward. It's like a mirror. You ding dong. Is that like a Gloomhaven type thing?
It's the sequel to Gloomhaven.
Oh, fun.
It literally came in a 55-pound box.
I literally came in a 55-pound box once.
There's like three ways I could interpret that. I don't like any of them. Welcome to Subscurity, a podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Brenna. And today we're talking about the Procrastinators Club of America. How would you describe your typical approach to preparing for a podcast episode, like one that you lead?
You want me to give the behind the scenes tour?
I do. Yeah. Like, I mean, we deliver really top tier, highbrow content week after week. And so I think there's a perception from our audience that, you know, we do rigorous, tiresome research day in and day out, the weeks leading up to it. So I'd like you to kind of peek behind the curtain, shed a little light on what the actual process is like when you prepare for an episode and all the research that goes into it.
You nailed it. It's rigorous, it's strenuous, it's deliberate, it's time consuming. But
and timely, wouldn't you say?
Let's put it this way. The average question, not average, might be the, nah, the normal question that I get from you over IM the day we're going to record is, have you chosen your topic? And maybe a couple hours before we're going to record is, have you researched?
And half the time the answer is, not yet.
Yeah. I would say I spend more time looking for topics than I probably do researching an individual topic, unfortunately.
Got it. Why do you think you put off preparing for the episode like for so long? Like until the day of, I guess, when you have
other things to do.
So do you not consider this podcast a priority? Careful.
No, I consider the work that I do that pays me a priority over the work that I do for all these folks that does not pay me, in fact, cost me money. This is a subsidized podcast to all listeners, as well as, you know, family stuff. So, there are episodes where I will definitely spend a couple days worth of time and effort researching and preparing my notes, which I think probably comes across in those episodes. I sound a little more on top of things versus ones where it's like, maybe I have 1 to 2 hours ahead of time to actually prepare. And that 1 to 2 hours is often while I'm also doing some other stuff.
I've never noticed a difference in your delivery.
And that just speaks to my complete perfection and skill as a podcast host, that I can so effortlessly and breezily pour into any topic with the confidence that a single glance of information, white man,
the confidence of a white man, like that's what you're channeling.
I when I dropped my son off at daycare today, whenever like we have to like I have to like lift him up so he can put his little stuffed animal in his little cubby thing right there, and so whenever I do that, I go uno dos tres levántate, right? Because we do a little tiny bit of Spanish every now and then, and his daycare teacher, who is Latina, went up to me. She's like, "So excuse me, like sorry if this is an awkward question, but like, do you like speak Spanish?" she kind of implied like, are you Latino?
Yeah. She's like, I don't know.
And
I'm
like, so I answered and everything, but I'm like, you know, my son's last name, right?
Very, very Mexican.
It's revelatory. It should tell you everything you need to know about my family heritage, but it was pretty funny to me. I'm like, it wasn't a lot, but enough that I can tell him how to 1, 2, 3 in Spanish.
I can also tell him 1, 2, 3 in Spanish, and I'm just plain white.
you are the definition of vanilla yogurt.
Sounds good to me.
Actually, I really like vanilla yogurt.
A lot of people like vanilla yogurt.
I think vanilla is an underrated flavor. Can I just say that? It is one of the better flavors of anything, and people who shit on it are stupid, because vanilla beans are delicious.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, chocolate is like head and shoulders above vanilla, but you're right. I mean, why is it so popular in like any kind of sweet? You can get a vanilla flavoring. It's a fucking scent in like half of women's lotions and perfumes, right? It's pretty popular for a reason.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you do. The more you know,
I should smell more women regularly.
Well, maybe not.
So does that answer your question, though, in terms of my rigorous effort to prepare every week? Really, it's every other week, I guess, but...
Yeah, it does. But you did kind of get into it, but you made a joke, or maybe it wasn't a joke, maybe it's half and half, that you have more important things to do, like work, the job that, you know, pays you money. Don't you also maybe do a little procrastination at work, though? This isn't like an isolated thing, just the podcast kind of put off the preparation for. You're not alone. This is not an insult or an attack. Like, let's just be real, though.
Yeah, there's a Calvin Hobbes comic where he has to do his like a book report or something for his like homework, and Hobbes keeps asking him like, why he's not doing it, and Calvin says something to the effect of like, I need to be in the right mood, and Hobbes is like, what mood is that? And Calvin is like, last minute panic. And I would say, yes, I thrive under the pressure that I voluntarily apply to myself by not doing things way ahead of time. Actually, though, okay, this is weirdly timed, but in the last like 2 weeks, I have made an effort to be ahead of schedule on things. So like, I'll block out my calendar for like, I need to actually get some shit done, right? Like, I need to do XYZ for my employees. I need to submit this thing, whatever it is, right? I need to write up this thing, get it, whatever. I've done an effort to like have that thing done by the time I get to my block of time allocated for it. And it has been very bizarre to have like, I constantly feel like there is something missing, that I have forgotten to do something, and it's mm-hmm. about to come crashing down because I'm actually ahead of schedule in terms of like what I'm supposed to do, for like what I've told myself I have to do. And it makes me uncomfortable. In fact, more uncomfortable than I feel when I know I have to get something done in like an hour and I haven't started it. Like, that is a better and that is a feeling that I feel at home in.
And I do. Because you've crafted that feeling for right. 42 years.
I have learned how 14. I that
42.
Was me. Oh.
The joke, that's an old joke. Come on, Jordan, keep
going. That's rude.
Can you not like, hear me?
Let me turn your turn your volume down. but generally, like I've learned to what used to be in like middle school and high school and college, that like feeling of anxiety and panic that you've got this big thing looming and you haven't done enough in time for it, like a test or an essay or whatever it is. I've learned to thrive in that, and doesn't actually like really give me anxiety anymore. It just gives me drive and determination to actually get it done. But I have to actually procrastinate to that point is what I've discovered, especially over the last 2 weeks.
Interesting. Well, thanks for sharing. What
I like
when
you say that. You're like, interesting. I don't care. I'm ready to talk about something else now.
No. It was more like I kind of tuned out there at the end and kind of realized you were finishing up, and then there was a gap, and I was like, oh, I should say something now. And that was the first word that came to mind, was interesting.
I like how the question is how I prepare for a podcast. Mm-hmm. But maybe my question to you is, how do you react in a podcast? How do you conduct a podcast? Just, you know, moment to moment.
I'm doing it right now on the seat of my pants, Jordan. By the seat of my pants.
Interesting.
Fuck off. Interesting. What do you think we're talking about today, Jordan? Have any context clues? The Procrastinators Club of America.
There's a club?
There sure is, Jordan.
I'm impressed that they found enough people who were like, all right, we'll get a club going. And they all committed to it and did it.
Well, therein lies a little bit of the irony that
joke.
You will... Oh, okay. That you will appreciate when we get into it. But before we do, I want to start just kind of on the science of procrastination. So we were talking about it, like why you think you do. Do you have, I mean, we talked kind of broad strokes, but now you know that's what we're talking about more specifically. Can you pinpoint like a psychological reason why you procrastinate certain things, more broadly speaking, I guess, not just the podcast, but when you do, like, why do you, even if it's like important?
I have two reasons. Okay. One is historical and one is current. Historically, I put it off because I didn't want to do it.
Okay.
Like, and it was like, it's hard. It was hard to get started to do something, you know, like the thought of, like, the anxiety of knowing everything I had to do for it would tend to build up, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, especially when it comes, or when I would have to write an essay, if I had like a 20 page paper. Essays. Oh, I loved it. That's the thing. I actually enjoy writing, but if I had a 20 page paper due in a month or 2 months or at the end of the term or whatever, like, I could never motivate myself to sit down and start. You know what I mean? It's that act of starting and having to, like, put a stake in the ground. I found that terrifying because it's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to get this going. In my head, I have, like, maybe even the outline of what I want to say, but I can't figure out where to start. And it that pressure mounts and builds up and I'm anxious about it. So I just kind of, you know what? That's tomorrow Jordan's problem. And eventually that becomes, there is no more tomorrow Jordan. It's today Jordan,
oh,
right? And
that's,
yeah. But so I think that's the past reason I would say I procrastinated. What my current, I think I just kind of gave you the answer to this, but my current version is because it's been successful for me. Like, yeah. I haven't, like, what I've learned is it hasn't bitten me in the ass enough. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it has tend to just kind of fallen into an adaptive style that works for that, where, like, I work in IT, spoilers, but, like, in IT, there's a concept of JIT, just in time, which is the idea that, like,
an economics idea.
Well, okay. They stole it from that for all I know. But it, you know, but the idea is that, like, things are only relevant at the moment you need them. You only, like, in software, it's, you don't build a service until you need it. You don't consume data until you need to, right? You always mm-hmm. do it just in time. And actually in manufacturing, it's the same thing, right? Like, they have, mm-hmm. there's that concept there as well. But, like, regardless, like, that's kind of what I realized, like, from a working style perspective, it works really well for me to just say, like, I know I will get this done. I've learned how much time I actually need to get something done. And I know that if I wait until it's closer to needing to be done, I will have more pressure to get it done. And I just get comfortable with that feeling, as opposed to, like, that being an anxious feeling. It just becomes a feeling of normality and just what I've learned about myself in terms of how I get things done. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And honestly, I think you are not alone. I think I would say the majority, like, not like 90%, but I would say over half of people would probably describe themselves as procrastinators, like, at least from time to time. That's a total guesstimate, but I feel like a lot of people do. Like, I was thinking through our friends and, like, okay, that one, I don't think they really procrastinate. Maybe that person doesn't, but I feel like I can think of a lot more people who do.
Well, I can think of people, like...
And it's a different context, too.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, like, I can think of people who are very not that style, who are very, like, rigorously put, like, schedule things out, and they have tons of notes about everything, and they begin things as soon as they're assigned to them and, mm-hmm. you know, or need to do them or whatever, right?
I hate those people.
Like, we have friends, like, I can think of at least one friend who's like that. So it's just like, I would say when you, in a professional setting, when you work with those people, you tend to come to odds a little bit, like you headbutt a little bit because the work styles are radically different. Like, you'll be in a meeting, people will be like, okay, takeaway is, you know, in 3 weeks, we're going to come back and talk about, you know, everyone's going to have next steps in 3 weeks and come back and figure out, like, where we are then. And you'll have some people who are like, go and get that done the next day, and are like pinging you about it. And then meanwhile, I'm like, I got 3 weeks. Like, this is not on my mind until, you know, 20 days from now, right? Like, and then I will figure out what I'm doing. So it's like, and I get it from their perspective. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, but in my other perspective, things. It's like, I have other things that are due tomorrow that I said 3 weeks ago. So it's like, I'm already
skating effect here.
Yeah, exactly. I dug my hole. I'm there now. You're going to either have to wait for me or just, you know, change your working style. I don't know.
Just going to have to deal.
Yeah.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and they're kind of, I think you kind of hit on maybe like two of these. But there are kind of five main reasons that people procrastinate. First one is like perfectionism. And I think that that overwhelm, that feeling of overwhelm of just
want to get it right.
Yeah, I want to get it right. And then you just don't start because you put that pressure on yourself. Like you were talking about the papers. Dislike the task. Very common one. Doesn't seem interesting. Tired. Also very common.
I am tired frequently.
Fear of failure. And then not part of their goals. So not seeing like an immediate benefit to them or like a long-term benefit to them. And there is a science behind it. So we have like two parts of our brain is the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex. And how they work together is kind of the key of how procrastination works. So the limbic system is one of the oldest not muscle, but system. I guess I'll just keep saying system. Systems of
it's one of the
brain.
Oldest systems.
System. It's a system of you the
mean,
brain.
When you say oldest, you mean like
evolutionarily? Like it's pretty mammalian. Okay, yeah. Yes, like everyone has a limbic system, and that is like your instinct. That is your fight or flight reaction. And as it ties into procrastination, it's the feeling of basically seeking out pleasure. So if you don't like a task, you know, that your instinct is kind of coming from the limbic system and saying, I don't really want to do this.
Right,
but yeah. What differentiates us from animals is that we have the prefrontal cortex, and that is a newer and less developed part of the brain, but that is where your judgment and decision making comes in. So that's really where it comes in, is you're feeling, I think it's a natural kind of feeling, like I just don't want to do that. And people who are not procrastinators can suppress that really easily and get into it. So maybe they have a stronger prefrontal cortex, or there are other things at play, but that is kind of the science behind it. And I think it gets a lot of procrastination gets a lot of shit, and it's not beneficial. Yeah. Like it's hard to argue that it's beneficial. A lot of, well, people think they work better under pressure. And I know like
I just said it multiple times.
Yeah. You do. Maybe you don't. Yeah. Like maybe you also don't have a comparison point.
I'm not, there's no control group for myself of like, I mean, I just said I've been doing things ahead of time this last 2 weeks, but like, I wouldn't say that's a strenuous, like scientific test that compares me versus old me. Right. Like,
totally. So, I mean, you said you think you perform better under pressure, and maybe it's true. Or, I mean, I don't like that you're going to have me on record saying this, but you are a smart person. So you're more likely, I think, to get away with it and actually see positive results from procrastination than the average person.
I instinctually want to argue you. The problem is, in this case, it's a negative towards me to just reactively disagree with you. So
that's your limbic system. Basically a scientist.
It's one of the oldest systems, I'm told.
Indeed.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm sure if I was ahead of a schedule more frequently, whatever, I would work just as effectively, if not more effectively. I think my problem is that I've grown comfortable with doing things under time pressure, and the dopamine hit I get from looking at something I need to do on a given day and saying, you know what, this could be done in the future, is just so fucking addicting. I have no way of I'm addicted to that. I can't give it up. So yes. It's like, there's that aspect to it that I think like, no matter how much better I might feel to have something done ahead of time, there's the John Mulaney joke about this. I was just talking to a friend about this, but there's that John Mulaney joke in one of his, I think it was the Comeback Kid special on Netflix, where he just, you know, it's the very beginning because he's thanking the audience for being there. He's like, thank you for coming, because, you know, you didn't have to. As an adult, there's no better feeling than canceling plans and just staying home, which like I so identify with. So it's that same feeling of like, I have to do this thing, but well, I don't really have to do this thing until the moment I need to. And that deferral is just so sweet and delightful.
Yes. I don't disagree. And the other, I guess the other reason I brought up kind of the science behind it is I think people, there's a myth that it has to, like, people who procrastinate are lazy or bad at time management. And sure, I'm sure there's like probably some overlap, but it's generally rooted in your biology and the battle between your two, those two brain systems
those
I mentioned.
Those two systems, the older ones. But like, I think what I'm taking from this though is like, I'm hearing that it's probably a myth, or at least not provable, that you're working better under pressure. But to your point, that doesn't mean you're working worse necessarily either. Like, well, I'm just thinking, like, you have the, there was an episode we did on Murderinos, right?
Mm-hmm.
The those, the podcast hosts who cover.
Do you know how sad this is? I thought that was your episode. Like, when I heard, that was my episode.
Yeah,
I did the research. Yeah. And, but when I, it took me a second to piece that together, like that.
I'm talking about the right episode, right?
You are.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, I forget what we talk about on
podcast. I know.
We have had
close to 100 of these, including one that will never see the light of day, unfortunately.
Sad for you.
Sad. But so we talked about Murderinos, and that's the, for those of you who haven't caught that episode, it's a pair of podcast hosts who talk about true crime kind of murder stuff. And if I remember right, you were like reading from like a New York Times article about it. And part of the expose was like, half of the time they come in with next to no knowledge of what they're talking about. And like, they're literally reading the Wikipedia page to each other live for the first time, which they clearly have a successful podcast by all indications.
It gives me hope.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I read the Wikipedia at least an hour before we talk, so I'm like ahead of the game in comparison, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Sure, they're making a living off of it and doing, you know,
I'm spending money for people to listen to this.
But you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you can't find success, whatever that may look like, but people who chronically procrastinate have much higher levels of stress, greater number of health problems. They're more likely to have headaches, get sick. So like, they're more susceptible to flu and colds. And procrastination, because it's so tied to stress, it's a factor that can lead to hypertension and cardiovascular disease. So that's really, I think, it's more the long-term health impacts that.
But why is that?
Because people are stressed about procrastinating.
Well, I get the stress argument for like things like hypertension and stuff, but for all the other ones, I mean, headaches, sure, too, but like kind of all the other symptoms you described, you're saying that all come, is that correlation or causation?
I mean, it's probably a bit of both, but I think stress is the underlying factor there. Procrastination stresses people out, and stress leads to all of those things. Like, chronic stress frequently leads to all of those things, like poor physical health, poor mental health, et cetera.
Okay. I'm buying it. That's why people should just get into my mode where it's, you just don't even stress anymore.
Don't even
just
stress.
Just procrastinate and you're fine with it.
Just accept it and it's fine. Do you not get stressed?
Oh, I get stressed, but not about things I procrastinate about usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Procrastinators Club of America.
Yeah, let's do that.
You can find more information.
We've procrastinated on this topic for enough, so let's talk about it now. Go ahead.
We could have made a better joke, but I appreciate what you tried. But you can check them out at procrastinators.org, which is a website that has not been updated since 2015. in
there,
true
go.
Form.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the club defines its purpose as promoting, quote, the philosophy of relaxation through putting off until later those things that needn't be done today. Mm. And the tagline is, productivity is overrated.
Yeah.
So this is all tracking.
And I can see why you, as a adamant anti-work leftist, love this concept.
Anyway, the club was founded, actually, I think earlier than you will anticipate. It was founded by Les Waz, I don't know, in 1956. And the joke was he served as the president ever since because no one had ever bothered to organize another election.
Classic. Is he related to the Waz of like Apple fame?
I don't know.
probably not, because his last name's probably not Wozniak, but I'll allow it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So let's see. He passed away in 2016 at the age of 94. And that seems to tie into the end of, or the last update on the website, though I don't know if there's a direct correlation there. But at any rate, as of 1991, because that was the most recent data point I could get, they had about 9,000 official card-carrying members. Because, yes, you could write in and apply to be a member. You had to send in $20 an app
for a business card.
Like, I guess so. $20, and it would get you a membership card, a, quote, license to procrastinate, a bumper sticker, and a recent calendar. Probably not the calendar for the year in which you applied, but a calendar nonetheless.
I would just like to point out that anecdotally, the existence of Les Woz disproves everything you just said, because he is literally, by all definitions, the president of procrastinators, and he lived to a ripe old age of 94. So don't give me this, it shortens your life and like gives you chronic health problems. That man proved procrastination keeps you alive longer than the average human being.
And that's the one data point we're going to go with. Or you could say he procrastinated death.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's pretty good.
And then also in an interview from 91, Joe Weiss, who for a long time I thought was the son of Les, but then I was re-researching and I'm pretty sure not.
Usually not how surnames work, at least in America.
So I couldn't tell. Well,
you figured it out.
Like, I was rereading my notes, I couldn't tell if, like, did I do a typo on Weiss? Or did I just, like, in my mind make up that they're related? I'm pretty sure it's the latter. I'm pretty sure they're two separate people. But anyway, okay. Joe Weiss was the treasurer back in 1991. And he, in the article I read, let me back up, when he was being interviewed, he said that his wife is also a procrastinator and, quote, "I'd hate to think what it'd be like living with someone who's always energetic, getting things done. You know, I've heard of women who make the bed as soon as you get out of it. Imagine living with somebody like that, or you're not even finished with your coffee and they clean up the table already."
I don't know if that's the opposite of procrastination. Like, I'm not buying that as, like, you either procrastinate or you're literally, like, cleaning up the moment, you know, your fork hits the plate. Like, I don't know if there's kind of a medium in between those, I would guess, but
I think you're saying it a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
I don't believe that. I'm taking this seriously. Every comment of his. Yeah.
As you should. And he said the club offers moral support for people who are married to chronic, and they call them anti-crastinators. And he said it's, quote, like being married to an alcoholic.
Procrastinator. So what's the pro-choice, pro-life way of saying that? So it's procrastinators and pro...
What does crast mean? Wait, I think I have this. Wait. Oh my God, this...
Look at you.
Look at me. Procrastination is derived from the Latin word pro, meaning forward, and crastinus, meaning tomorrow.
Oh, wait.
Forward tomorrow.
How do you say seize the day in Latin?
Carpe diem.
So pro diems? Is that the opposite of procrastinators?
Wait, what? Walk me through that logic. I'm confused because we're now talking in Latin.
Forward tomorrow is procrastinator. Then forward today, in my head, sees the day today. I don't know.
So pro diem is...
Pro diems. That's the, like, the... Instead of saying anti-choice, right? They call themselves pro-life. So I'm going to call them pro diems. That's, I think, correct for a dead language that no one actually speaks. So I'm just going to go with it.
I think it sounds good. And I think we can use it as a new tagline when we kind of reinvigorate the procrastinators.org.
Yeah.
So I like it.
We ain't pro diem. We're procrastinate.
So it seems they were a much more active organization, like in the 60s to 90s, which is when you put it together, when Les was probably at his peak.
It's also following the hippie movement pretty well. So that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. But in 1991, they protested at early bird specials at restaurants, saying that anti-crastinators are unfairly favored in restaurants, particularly in Florida.
I'm fucking loving this. This shit is amazing. Like, if you're going to do a commitment to the stupidest, most inane shit, this is exactly what I want it to be. Like, protesting shit for old people who get up really early, that's where you should do it. Old white people, let's be real.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
They also, they actually had a really successful protest. You'll actually really like to hear this. In 66, they protested the War of 1812. And it was successful because a treaty was signed. According to their logic, they successfully protested the War of 1812. So you can't say they haven't accomplished anything.
But the treaty was signed before 1966, correct?
That's the joke.
I think I found a flaw in their logic, brother.
That's the joke. Everything about them is like very tongue-in-cheek. They celebrate the 4th of July in January. They actually kick out members who are too proactive. And they one time expelled a member who sent out Christmas cards on time. So kind of seriously.
Yeah. Well, within the boundaries of their own humor. I love it.
Yes. And that is the extent of information I could get on the Procrastinators Club.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are a fantastic podcast host. I think you put in an admirable amount of effort, and you always try to really, like, I would describe you as a podcast empath. Like, you always really try to understand the subcultures that you're getting into. So in that respect, when you decided to research procrastinators, what time today did you begin your research?
So this isn't a fun answer because I hadn't researched for our last episode.
No, Brent. We had
to reschedule. So okay. There is a little bit of, I mean, if it makes you feel better, I think I would say, like, I normally have like a solid 3 pages of notes. When I pulled up in my mind, I guess I thought I had completed the research. And I pulled it up. I only have a page and a half, and I have all these like unclicked links that I had earmarked for later. So
yeah,
I don't know if that semi-qualifies as procrastination forgetting. But anyway, I want to move into a really exciting holiday coming up. National Procrastination Week.
When's that?
March 6th through 12th.
I'm busy that week. Can we do it like another week?
That's a good joke, because in the spirit of procrastination, the date is flexible and the holiday can be postponed until a later date.
That's great.
But
I like
it was
that.
It was born out of the idea that we should have 1 week to enjoy the things we have put off for a long time. It's time for loosening up and to be stress-free. And it's been around since 2008. And they actually say it's meant to be, ironically...
Who's they?
The internet upon which I researched.
All right.
And so they say it's supposed to be like, enjoy the things they've been putting off, loosen up, be stress free. But it's also supposed to give procrastinators time to actually arrange their schedule in such a way that they can enjoy a week to delay those important things that they usually have to do. So might be like tidying things around the house or just things you might actually do on a normal day today.
Like spring cleaning, but it'll be last year's spring cleaning.
Exactly. You're getting it. You are getting it.
I love it.
And kind of like we mentioned earlier, it should be noted that the holiday does not support laziness in any way. Rather, it helps keep procrastinators organized, making them carry out important work now so they can enjoy the week.
Making them carry out important work now or, you know, whenever they get to it.
Whenever they get to it. But that's... That's it, Jordan. That is the extent of my research for this episode, the Procrastinators Club of America. I think that was about 30 minutes. So hope
Perfect.
You have enough in there to edit a good, solid show.
Well, I'll tell you in the hours before this needs to go live when I actually get to editing it.
And that's the Procrastinators Club of America. Do you have an obscure subculture we should know about, or just want to ask us a question? Find us on Instagram @SobscurityPodcast, or our website, subscurity.com, or finally, you can email us at subscurity@gmail.com. I promise I'll get back to you as soon as I am able or as soon as I feel like it, which is the more likely answer. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.